Toussaint, the land of fluff and wine.
Exactly how I remembered it.
You would find Beauclair has changed some these past years.
To me, place always seemed straight out of a fairy tale. Knights errant, elven palaces.
You insinuate that we are somehow odd? I shall prove you wrong. This I pledge on the Heron!
Welcome to Whispers of Oxenfurt. Today, covering the Blood and Wine downloadable content of the PC game from Seta Project Red, and reading through The Lady of the Lake, really kind of had a little hankering, as it's the first time I've replayed it since it came out. Was it like 4 years ago or something like that? And when I did play it, I had not read the books yet. And so going back through it this time, it's just really cool to see all of that stuff that they've used and influenced them in the story. So there's obviously going to be spoilers for this, spoilers for every single thing, everything that's come out, all the books, the games, you name it. So if for some reason this is playing and you don't want to be spoiled by the ending of The Lady of the Lake, especially the last Witcher novel, don't listen to it. Come back and listen to this after you've played the games or finished the books. And we got a lot to discuss, so let's get goings. So I'm going to kind of briefly skim over a lot of the story. I'm not going to get in depth on every little thing that happens, especially early on. I'll kind of be quick because I want to get to that one character, whom you know since you're still listening to this. So it starts out as Geralt is still in Velen. He answers a contract titled Envoys Wine Boys and meets his old friends, Milton de Peyrac Peyrin and Palmerin de Lawnful, who are full of Toussaint-y vigor and haughtiness. They do a noble thing and defend a village from bandits, and the villagers now see them as another nuisance, and they don't even thank them. Don't get out of their homes they were hiding in. Geralt says, well, this ain't fairy tale Toussaint. The duo gives him a letter from the Duchess Anna Henrietta, asking, or demanding, in no less terms, that Geralt help them kill a beast that has been terrorizing the capital of Beauclair. So they all arrive, and the land of knights errant and elven palaces is a stark difference to Velen. It is, for one, much easier on the eyes. As soon as they get there, they take down a cursed knight-turned-giant named Goliath, and Geralt goes to inspect the latest murder scene. And this is one of the things that I loved about this game, of The Witcher 3 in general, was I had no idea when I first started playing what this was about. I knew it was just a fantasy medieval world, magic and all that. But Geralt is essentially a detective, and he gathers these clues, and we solve it along with him. It's not a whodunit. We're not exactly trying to piece together all of these clues to do that. We're simply just following him as he does it. And Assassin's Creed Unity had some of those side quests, and I don't know if it was just the free added or something else, but they had that where you act as an investigator, and those were just fantastic. I think they also had an Assassin's Creed Syndicate with the Jack the Ripper DLC where you do that, and those were just amazing. I would love almost an entire game of that, and it's not easy, I bet, to pull off from a game design either. The Witcher goes to where the corpse is being held, the vineyard, or the cellar at a vineyard, and fights off a Bruxa, heads to the tourney grounds, kills her or saves a Shalmar, meets the Duchess and her captain of the guard, Damien de la Tour, goes on a scavenger hunt, happens upon Milton's murder, fights a higher vampire, Detloff, who we'll find out later, and is saved by Regis. And here we finally get to the fun part of this. Emil Regis Rohelic Tirziev Godefroy is back, and this is a major turn in Seta Project Red's lore. One of the first lines Regis delivers is,
last I saw you,
I was a bubbling, shapeless smear, having been rather spectacularly melted into a column of a certain castle.
I'm sorry. What happened? It was my fault. Never got a chance to apologize.
No need, Geralt. Bygones. I did not have to join you on that expedition. No one twisted my arm.
In The Lady of the Lake, in Chapter 8, Geralt warns Regis about Vilgefortz, but the vampire says, "Beware, I did not come here to beware." He then attacks Vilgefortz, but it was an illusion, at which point the sorcerer grabs him, and his hands were of red-hot iron. The vampire melted along the column, fusing into an amorphous lump. And as I said a while back, Regis and Sigismund Dijkstra are the two characters from the game that I now almost read the books in their voice. And that is more to the voice actors who portray them. The writing is great of their, and their characterization is great. But the actors are so good in how I think they just nailed exactly what those two guys would sound like. Geralt somewhat, as everyone knows, you know, Doug Cockle's portrayal of him. But I honestly feel that book Geralt is a bit more emotional than game Geralt. And that's not a shot at anything. It's just a choice to make. The look of Regis, though, I think is down pat. He's got his satchel, his bag of herbs, some, or at least one, sticking out. I think it actually might be garlic. And a small leather Bota bag, or wineskin, around his neck. The Beast of Beauclair is a higher vampire named Detloff, and he is the reason Regis is here, as he is a dear friend of his as well. Is a sentient, I like saying sentient, but it actually might be sentient, so I'll probably just say them both throughout. Is a sentient higher vampire. There has to be a reason why he is killing these people. He will not do it indiscriminately. And I think the most disturbing thing to happen this game is the Tesha Mutna dungeon sequence. They need higher vampire blood in an agitated state, so they must travel to this ancient vampire place of torture, where an old vampire was not very nice and was subsequently tortured. And this requires Regis to be chained up and held in a small cage while Geralt slays a bunch of vampires that they have baited to come there. The smell of this blood gets Regis all riled up in his agitated and transformed state. And again, as we have this history with Regis, and you see him there essentially being tortured, as it's a thirst that he says a human cannot even imagine, it is just really, really hard to take in, especially not just from Regis' standpoint, we know that, but even Geralt has to watch his friend suffer through this. And as the books told us, Regis is a recovering, I guess, bloodaholic. For higher vampires like Regis, blood is not required to survive. It's like alcohol for humans. And even though he said it was like a thirst, Regis again is recovering from this. Imbibing it makes you a bit euphoric and drunk. Regis had a bad experience where he was flying under the influence and crashed into a well where humans tore him apart with stakes, used garlic and holy water on him, burying him where he then lay for about 50 years to think about his actions. Higher vampires can only be killed by other higher vampires. They learn some more information, and Geralt, Damien de la Tour, the captain, and the Duchess ride out to meet the official winemaker of the Ducal Red Sangreal. And if you listen to the podcast or probably seen some of my personal Twitter feed, you probably have an idea how I feel about the nobility or feudalism or the ultra wealthy and powerful in general. So this is a wine in Toussaint that is only made for the royal ducal family, because of course they need their own wine. So this winemaker sold a cask of it for an inordinate amount of money, and apparently this is high treason and to the dungeon with him. And this is where I started to look at Anna and was like, okay, I never really cared for her before in general, being, you know, a duchess and all, and a tyrant. But high treason for selling your precious special only you can have wine? Yeah, let's get those guillotines out and ready. The masked Mandragora ball gathering is reminiscent of the wedding scene from Hearts of Stone. You walk around, gather information, kind of partake in these little activities, meeting a strange and eclectic cast of characters, and I think even the music's the same. and I might be imagining things, but they're trying to find a singer, Cecilia, and this also gets mentioned as a heart-shaped box. So along with the artist and all the musical references, I'm just going to go ahead and say that these are shout-outs to Simon and Garfunkel and Nirvana. I'm sure they're not, but again, in my mind, yeah, why not? A woman named Oriana, the host of the affair, or at least her place, has a sit-down, and here comes Regis with his old friend Detlof. And once you know that Oriana is indeed a vampire herself, it makes this whole scene just chock-full of nervous energy. A tete-on-tete, where Oriana knows what she's doing, knows whom everyone is, and just kind of plays with them, or plays along with them. Toe-to-toe with a monster, as Detlof and Geralt just size each other up.
What's it like going toe-to-toe with a monster, knowing you've only two options, to kill or be killed?
Despite what you might have heard, I don't lunge at every monster I see, sword in hand. Talking gets the job done for some.
I wonder what a monster might have to say to you.
It might want to apologize.
My word. For what might a monster wish to apologize to a witcher?
For killing, though at times there is no choice, when loved ones are at risk and require protection.
Everyone except the Duchess is privy to what is going on here. Oriana and Regis are essentially serving as a mediator to explain and help Geralt understand Detlof's actions, of which Detlof even pseudo-apologizes. So after all that, they head to Duntin Castle, where they proceed to just straight murk everyone there, flashing about, Ciri style, all hopping around as we see the vampires just tear up these bandits who have been behind the blackmailing. And well, Sianna, Anna Henrietta's sister, was supposed to be held captive there. And yeah, it's the same person as Detlof's lover, Reyna. Reyna is Sianna, Sianna is Reyna. So, a princess, kinda, daughter of a royal, is banished. Curse of the Black Sun, survives via the help of criminals and bandits, comes back to take revenge on those who wronged her. So yeah, this is Renfri. Very clear, again, from playing this after the fact is, okay, this is like the story of Renfri that they clearly got it from. So Sianna has 3 days to report to Teshamutna to explain everything to Detlof. Why, I don't know why he would give the 3 days. I guess, you know, gaming reasons. But Anna Henrietta says she will not be harmed as she is her sister until a trial, at least. The Knight of Long Fangs, which is what the quest is called when the vampires attack and kind of get a little massacre of the city. And I don't see a correlation, but the Knight of Long Knives was an event in Nazi Germany where the SS and Hitler essentially consolidated power by effectively eliminating the influence of the SA and its leader Ernst Röhm. Both of them were loyal to Hitler, but they kind of thought the SA and them were getting a little bit too powerful. So one Nazi paramilitary organization against another Nazi paramilitary organization. And everybody wins and everybody kind of lost out of what came of it. Again, there's no correlation here regarding content, just a similar sounding name, which might again be very, very different from German to Polish as opposed to these two translated English terms. So the next quest that comes up, Beyond Hill and Dale, and again, this is the one that I did where I went to the fantasy land. Beyond Hill and Dale takes us to the Land of a Thousand Fables, an illusionary world or illusory world created by the mage Artorius Vigo. Among the fairy tale characters mentioned in appearing include the Wicked Witch, Jack and the Beanstalk, the Three Little Pigs, Boy Who Cried Wolf, Red Riding Hood, Goldilocks, and a reference to the Musicians of Bremen statue, among others. Here Geralt meets Sianna, and he actually mentions Renfri of Craydon.
Met one of you, Renfri of Craydon.
And? Was she truly monstrous?
She was cruel, that's certain. But what caused it? The curse or what she went through? Asking myself to this day.
You killed her, didn't you?
Had no choice.
Funny,
Mum said the same when she tossed me out of the house.
And I covered everything about Renfri in the Lesser Evil episode, so if you want to hear more about there, or hear about that, go there. You then complete all the tasks, mainly finding three beans and going up the beanstalk, and you can even bed Sianna, which again is the most CDPR thing to do. Afterward, Detlaf and her confront each other, and we get some more vampire-on-vampire action, which again is just kind of nuts as they are fighting each other, transporting in and out of this mist, twirling, pirouetting around with their long claws. Until eventually Regis gets knocked out, and then Geralt goes one-on-one, eventually getting Detlaf to transform into something pretty bonkers. And I remember the first time playing it, it wasn't really disturbing, it was just really, really wild. Especially that last thing you're inside of. So Geralt defeats him, but only Regis can kill him, because he's a higher vampire, which he does. So all's well and done, okay, we've got everything care of, the beast is dead. Okay, well, there was that fifth victim, and that was to be the Duchess herself. And bravo, as the virtue she disdained was lack of compassion. And well done, Sianna. In my ending, and thus the canon ending, it's the bad ending, like the all-around bad ending, where both sisters die and Detlaf's dead. But Sianna kills Anna and says that she will never forgive her. And I do not weep for Anna. She was a despot, spoiled, and petulant ruler who did not consider the consequences of her actions until well after they transpired. She was very rash, like again, with the winemaker. Perhaps if she had a bit more compassion or empathy, she would have been a better ruler, or at least a better sister. The saddest thing of this to come out for me is that Regis is essentially banished and considered a traitor to vampires for killing one of his own. And he's not banished from Toussaint by the humans. Again, he's banished from his clan, if you will. He says he has to leave Toussaint for a very long time. But I can't help but think of a random Bruxa or attacking him near his home, which again is one of the final things to happen to me as I was searching for that mandrake root. They must have been sent for him, or sent to look out for him. A vampiric bounty, if you will. Regis had to give up his livelihood and part of who he is for Geralt, his dear friend. Although we end up defeating Detlaf, it has to be because I think this was a game. Without sorcery like Vilgefortz had, it seems unlikely that even a witcher could defeat a higher vampire. And this may surprise you, but seeing the comparisons to Renfri, I generally tended to side with Sianna. Again, if I had to pick a side, which you have to do in The Witcher, even though you don't want to. Again, somewhat. Like Renfri, she was justified in her revenge against those who directly wronged her. The knights, and to some extent, Anna Henrietta. If she and her bandit gang killed the knights and assassinated the Duchessa, then good deal. Completely understand it. Same with Renfri going after Stregobor. If she would have chased down Stregobor and chased down everybody who wronged her, knock yourself out. You're the hero. But Sianna used Detlaf, treated him cruelly, according to Regis, and caused the deaths of not only him, but hundreds, maybe even thousands, during the Night of Long Fangs. Again, those people have no idea what is going on. They get attacked by all these vampires. How many orphans come out of that? Widows, widowers. The results of her actions will resonate theoretically forever, as they even changed the ruler of Toussaint. That's really it for the main story. I won't really do any of the side quests or anything. A couple that stood out, the Warble of a Smitten Knight was one with Guillaume and Vivienne, where the main lesson being men learn how to take no from a woman, and he learned that the very hard way. One other two is, speaking of the Lady of the Lake book, is the Lady of the Lake is actually in the game, Fisher King as well, as you get the sword Arendite, which I believe was also in the Witcher 1 game. So they make an appearance at Toussaint. So again, that was a little good little tidbit to go in there. And it kind of introduces you to more of the five chivalric values of Toussaint. And finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the side quest, Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Granite. And you can look that one up on your own. I hope you enjoyed this little run-through of the Blood and Wine expansion. Oh, I should say that those were the endings I had. The epilogue that I had was, of course, Yen coming back to Corvo Bianco, and her and Geralt staying there forever and ever and ever, or at least until something else happens to them. So send comments, questions, suggestions to WitcherPodcast@gmail.com, WitcherPodcast on Twitter, everything else below. So next time we'll get back to the books as we're getting ever closer to, like I mentioned before, Chapter 8. And we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Sit here a while longer.
So we shall, my friend. We have witnessed, and in fact on several occasions incited, many great and weighty events. After all that toil, I believe we deserve a bit of a rest.